Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. What a privilege it is for us to know you, to serve you, to be able to wait on you each and every day. Thank you for the wonderful gift of eternal life. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for the ability and the desire to serve you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength every day. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. Fill us with the Spirit of joy, peace, and grace. Help us more and more to live faithfully as kingdom warriors who understand the call and the callings upon our lives and who live them out faithfully each and every day. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Mark Ose is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Dear Lord God, I thank you so very, very much for giving us an opportunity to serve you in this way. Thank you for the platform that you have given us. God, as we look at our world today, we see turmoil, political turmoil, earthquakes, things that you told us that would come before Jesus comes again. And so, God, we need not be worried by these things. We need to recognize that these are things you have foretold and that nothing that's going on in our world today is surprising you. Help us, Lord God, to point out that truth to others around us in our sphere of influence. And God, I pray also for this broadcast and that it would be a blessing for many, many people as a broadcast or a podcast, and ask you also for your blessing on the technical aspects of this recording today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to continue to remind you that our Ten Commandments Youth Discipleship Project is ongoing, and we're still encouraging you to encourage your children, grandchildren, children, or young people that you know to get involved. Remember, it's a discipleship project. And to be very honest, very fun project. It's been a fun one to be a part of over the years, but at the same time, it's a very serious project. The reality is our children need so much help in this world and in this culture. And it's so important to know our children, mainly and foremost, they need to know Jesus and they need to be taught how to walk with him as well. And that's what discipleship is about, helping young people as well as adults to come to know Christ and teaching them how to walk with the Lord. So we hope that you will get involved. Again, the speech challenge is going on now. The dates to turn the speeches in are between June 1st and June 30th, so you still have time. But we're encouraging you, get them involved, because they will learn some life-changing truths that will may very well stay with them the rest of their lives and will bless them the rest of their lives as well. And so, and if you happen to not know the Ten Commandments by heart, you need to memorize them. My experience is lots of believers who think they know them don't really know them. But it's good to know them, but also it's important to seek to live them each and every day. So for more information about the Ten Commandments Project, email me at joseph@afr.net. As we often do, I want to take time now to share one or two articles from the AFA Stand, discipleship articles to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. This article is entitled, Pray the Prayer of Jabez Daily. Again, the title, Pray the Prayer of Jabez Daily. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Again, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. Prayer is a critical part of the life of all believers. Prayer is also a great responsibility. Our prayer life plays a vitally important role in our relationship with God and in our lives as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the most important tasks we will be accomplished largely through our prayer lives. Apparently, Jabez, the man who prayed the prayer above, was a wise man. The wisdom to pray such a prayer was given and inspired by the Holy Spirit. Like Jabez, we're wise to pray this same prayer every single day of our lives. Why is that true? Well, actually, there are many reasons. The prayer basically consists of four requests. Number one, Lord, greatly bless me. Request two, extend my border or my influence and blessing in the world. Number three, that your hand would be with me. In other words, place your Holy Spirit afresh upon me. And then number four, keep me from harm so that it would not hurt me. When a believer prays that prayer, he or she is asking God to do basically the following things. Bless me and make me a more productive servant and vessel in your hands in the building of your kingdom. Secondly, enlarge my influence and my fruitfulness in the world for you. Thirdly, pour a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit upon me. And lastly, help me to avoid temptation and doing evil things. Any believer who's wise enough to pray this prayer daily is seeking to be used of the Lord more and more in his or her life. And why wouldn't any and all believers want to be used more by the Lord? My encouragement to you is start praying the prayer of Jabez every day and know that every day you pray this prayer, God will answer it. Why is this true? Well, God is looking for disciples who desire to be used more by him. Pray it for yourself and for your family and for whatever ministry you do in serving the Lord. As you begin to pray it daily, watch the Lord begin to use you more and more. And also watch him to begin to open up more doors of opportunity for ministry in your life. Watch your journey following him take a dramatic and exciting turn for good and more adventure serving him. If you've never read Dr. Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Prayer of Jabez, please get it and read it. It'll bless you and challenge you to want to do more for God and his kingdom. Again, the title of the article, Pray the Prayer of Jabez Daily. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. And remember, one of our goals in sharing the articles, of course, is to put into your hands discipleship tools that'll help you in your personal walk with the Lord, tools to help you disciple your family, but also tools you can forward and share with others, with fellow workers on the job, saved or unsaved individuals, fellow members of your church, and any other place or in any other capacity the Lord so leads you to share them. We invite you to do just that. And we become co-laborers in doing the work of discipleship as you take and use these articles in that way. And the second article is entitled, Let the Children Come to Me. Matthew 19, verse 14, Jesus said, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Then Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5, Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Again, Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. The story is told of a 9-year-old boy who wanted to share advice with some other boys his age. And as they were all looking forward to the local church picnic, he chose to share it before they went. If you go to the church picnic and you bring your dog, remember this. When you're eating your food, no matter how much your dog loves you, don't trust him to guard your food when you have to go to the bathroom. Good advice. Another story is shared of a 7-year-old little boy who at church one day saw a particular man that his dad knew. The 7-year-old walked up to the man and began walking circles around the gentleman, looking him up and down as he circled him. Finally, the curious gentleman said to the boy, "Little man, what are you looking for?" The little boy, with a very curious look on his face, said, "My daddy said you was two-faced, and I was looking for your other face." It seems that this young man heard something that daddy didn't mean for him to hear, much less repeat. Parents, we need to be wise about the words we speak before our children in order to be good role models before them. Our children are listening. They're listening sometimes when we want them to, and they're listening sometimes when we don't want them to. Our children are listening. Also, we should be wise with the words that we speak at home, because if we don't, they may come back to hit us sometimes. A 5-year-old little girl was very thoughtfully asking her daddy one day, "Daddy, can we get a cat?" Daddy very apologetically responded, "Honey, I'm sorry, I can't live in the same house with a cat. I'm allergic to cats." His little daughter quickly responded in a very serious tone, "Well, Daddy, you could live outside." Our children, in their little minds and in their thinking, very often will think, reason, and come to conclusions to make us chuckle and sometimes just laugh out loud. Time and time again, without meaning to be, they're miniature comedians and life philosophers who have some very interesting ways of thinking and unique perspectives and approaches to life. A little 9-year-old girl was one day giving some wise counsel to her two younger sisters, ages 6 and 7. With real concern and passion, she told them, "When mama is mad at daddy, don't let her brush your hair." Our children are precious, each unique, and each one a gift from God to us and to the world. How important it is that we agree with God's word and recognize them as the rewards God says they are. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward, Psalm 127, verse 3. Children in this world act, think, and react as children. Their minds will see the world from a child's point of view. We who are entrusted with the very important task of discipling our children are wise to understand this. The greatest need that every child in the world has is the same as the greatest need of every adult: to know Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a simple message. It's extremely simple, so simple that even a child can understand it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. The gospel is simple, and we are to do our part to help introduce every child to Jesus Christ. In view of these truths, we as parents are wise to be very intentional and sober-minded about sharing the gospel with each of our children and discipling them. Often children come to know Christ in a church setting, but this very important goal does not have to happen in church. Many a child has been introduced to Christ and given his or her life and then given their life to Christ at home. All over the world, the vast majority of persons who give their lives to Christ do so before the age of 18. This reality should encourage us to put great commitment and passion into evangelizing and discipling children and youth. Whether at home or at church or wherever they are, let's see to it that our children hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let's see to it that they are invited to give their lives to him. Again, the title of the article, "Let the Children Come to Me." You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle.
That's what we're doing tonight.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle.
Music of Michael W. Smith with Surrounded. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're honored to have with us in studio today as our in-studio guest, Pastor C.J. Montgomery. He's the pastor of Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Boonville, Mississippi. Pastor Montgomery, how are you today?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing good. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and be with us today. And, you know, I would mention, Pastor Montgomery, I like to have pastors to come on, typically pastors that have a big heart for God and the things of God and the kingdom of God. And so we want to talk about some things and hear your heart as a pastor, because actually it helps the body of Christ to hear the heart of a pastor in preaching, teaching, and just sharing your heart as well. So as we begin, would you take time now specifically to introduce yourself to our listeners before we get into our discussion today?
Yes, sir. So like you said, my name is C.J. Montgomery. Born and raised in Shannon, Mississippi, born to a very godly family, a godly mother, godly father, godly grandparents. Age of 7, I began to trust in the Lord as my Lord and Savior. And at the age of 19, I began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also got married at the age of 19 to my beautiful wife, Carrie Montgomery. We are coming up on 15 years. We have three beautiful children, Aaliyah, the oldest, Madison, the youngest girl. Aaliyah is 13, Madison is 12, and then our son, Kaiser, he's 2. Right now, currently, like you said, pastoring Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church. We're located at 819 Martin Luther King Drive, Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, Boonville, Mississippi, 38829. But yeah, just really enjoying what God is doing right now in my life. Thankful for the opportunity I have anytime to share of his goodness.
Amen. Amen. Now, now people sometimes they use the term bivocational pastor. I don't know if there's such a thing really, but you also do work with another ministry, well, school of sorts. Would you tell our listeners about that as well?
Yeah, so there's no such thing as a bivocational pastor. Pastoring is always a full-time job within itself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right now I am working at Academy of Christian Excellence. So it is a school for gymnasts. We are connected with Tupelo Gymnastics Center, where they serve children that are expecting to be competitive gymnasts. And so in order to compete in gymnastics at a high level, you have to do school differently. So we ourselves supply that schooling. Is a Christian-based school. We teach everything from a biblical worldview. I've been teaching in both realms, the public realm and this realm. Now this is my 11th year of teaching, and I will say this has been one of the greatest places I've ever taught school, being able to come strictly from a biblical perspective. So that's what we do.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to ask you if you'll take, Pastor Montgomery, take time to pray for our listeners that they would have ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast today. Would you pray for that?
I definitely will. Let us pray. So, Father God, I'm just so grateful, Lord, that you continue to speak to us, your people. That is by your grace, Lord God. And so, as you use us as mouthpieces for you, I pray that you would fill our minds with your thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would put your words on our tongues, and Lord, help us to accurately communicate what it is you would have us to say. And then, Lord, for those that are hearing, I pray that their minds, their hearts are open, ready to be receptive of whatever you are saying. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Montgomery. Again, you know, as I mentioned, I enjoy having pastors come on to share your heart and your perspective on so many of the issues and things we're facing. You know, the world is on fire in so, so many ways. And
absolutely,
I think of this reality that the church is the most critical institution in the world and in the universe.
Absolutely.
And it's important for us as believers to know who we are. And I think of this, that a real challenge that we in the body of Christ have today is that a lot of emphasis, time, energy, money, and direction is given to what happens on Sunday morning. And that it's important for that to happen, you know, that we worship and serve God. Sunday school, worship service, those are important things. But for many people, that's the highlight and the priority of their time and energy as it relates to church. But, you know, most of the work of the church is supposed to happen outside of the four walls of the church. I want to ask this, Pastor Montgomery, what would you say as a pastor who's very much who's very serious about ministry, serious about doing the work of the building of God's kingdom, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges that the church faces in the world we live in today?
So some of the biggest challenges that the church faces in the world that we live in today, I would say is kind of a lack of maturity in the body of Christ. I believe we're blending too much with the culture. And so instead of being able to impact the culture, we're just kind of blending in. And so we have to return back to true disciple making in the church so that we can have mature leaders leading the body of Christ. We need to return back to the authority of Scripture, just standing on what the Word of God says in our own personal lives as well as in the life of the church. I do believe that the world is in the shape she's in because the church is in the shape she's in. So I don't ever blame the world for being what the world is, but I think the church needs to do a better job of impacting the culture biblically.
You know, what a book that comes to my mind that powerfully illustrates what you just shared is that, you know, in the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah is a true story. It's a powerful story. Now, sadly, sometimes people think of it as a children's story, but actually it's a very serious story. It's a true story. It actually events that took place. But at the same time, we serve a God. He's so big that he can put stories within the stories of the stories of God's word.
Absolutely.
The book of Jonah, the events of that book happened, but at the same time, they represent this fact. Like, for example, Jonah represents the church, and Nineveh represents the world. Well, in that book, we find this, that God sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach to it. And the fact is, he disobeyed at first, went another direction, got disciplined, but God graciously gave him another chance. But when Jonah got straight, Nineveh got saved. When Jonah got straight, Nineveh got saved. And so the problem, to your point, the world is going to be the world.
Absolutely.
But when the gospel is preached by the church, and Jonah represents the church, when he got in place and did his job, the city repented.
Yes.
And how important it is that we as believers understand that individually we have a great responsibility to be witnesses for Christ. And as local churches, we have a great responsibility to be witnesses for Christ.
Yes.
And as the church as a whole, we have that responsibility. And so, would you share, you mentioned about the whole reality of the need for real discipleship. And I think of this, that, again, to your point, as one minister put it, he said that many of our churches are like churches full of first graders. Children who are there, they go to church regularly, which is good, but they've never grown up. They've never really matured and grown up. What would you say are the critical priorities the church needs to lay out to really help people to begin to become serious disciples and to begin to grow up?
So we have to return back to doing life together. Okay, this is the body of Christ. Church is more like an event right now, whereas God didn't set it up that way. We are family. We are closer to one another than we are with our blood relatives that are lost. And so we got to get back to doing life together. And while we're doing life together, it creates opportunities for discipleship. It creates opportunities for accountability, creates opportunities for iron to sharpen iron, you know. And so I believe the church has got to go back to doing life together. When we look at the church in the book of Acts, they were family. They were one. And mm-hmm. so they saw each other more than twice a week or once a week or however often we see each other nowadays. But we got to go back to doing life together. I think that's one critical thing. Another thing is we have got to be intentional about seeing each other walk in the ways of God. Mm-hmm. And so I would say we all have blind spots. And because it's a blind spot, that means I cannot see it on my own. So I need a body of believers that will lovingly help me to grow and mature in those various areas that maybe I am weak in. And I need to be that for somebody else as well.
Right.
So I would say if we would just do life together more and apply the scriptures as we do life together, we would make good grounds down the road.
You know, along with that, and thank you for sharing that, Pastor Montgomery, I think of this too, that, you know, like it's pretty typical for a person to say, well, I've been to church today, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's good to go to church. Mm. But the reality is we know this, that the church is not a building.
That's right.
And it's not just a place. The church is God's people.
Yes.
And the reality is that in the truest sense of the word, we're supposed to be at church 7 days a week, 24 mm-hmm. hours a day. We mm-hmm. are the church.
That's right.
We're to be serving Christ as the church everywhere we go. And yet the understanding of that seems to be lost to many believers. They've not grown to the point where they understand who we are as the church, what our priorities are, mm-hmm. and what our lifestyle is to be about as well. So would you pray at this time, Pastor Montgomery, pray for pastors and churches to mature to where they come to better understand who we are and what we're called to do as in carrying out the Great Commission as a church.
Yes, absolutely. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity to call upon your name. I'm asking right now, Lord God, that you would fill us with your spirit, that you would enlighten us, that you would show us our true identity in you. And, Lord, that we will be the light that we ought to be unto this world and salt to this earth, oh God. And I pray, Lord, that we would desire to be about our Father's business until Christ returns. Lord, let us do the work that you have cut out for us to do by engaging the culture the way you would have us to, going and making disciples of all nations, teaching your scriptures and living those scriptures as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, too, thank you for your church, the body of Christ. Thank you for the privilege, the honor and the privilege of being a part of the body of Christ in the world. And thank you for the privilege of being a part of the work you've called us to go into all the world and make disciples. Lord, touch us, Lord. Father, we do confess in so many ways we've not loved you as the church as we should have. Often we've not loved you or loved one another. We've not been passionate about the things of God and your kingdom like we should have been. In so many ways, our priorities have not been what they should be. We confess these are shortcomings by faith. We repent of them, Lord. We repent of all of them, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our shortcomings. Father, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Set us on fire with a passion to be about the work of carrying out the Great Commission, doing the work of making disciples every day, passionately knowing that we have work to do and responsibility every day of our lives, and that the time is short. That the fact is, every day we're closer to your return. Help us as the church to mature and to grow to the place where we're passionate in our love for you and passionate in our commitment to live out the life of discipleship you want us to. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Montgomery, you know, something I'm going to ask you to comment on this. I know something that's just kind of a helpful concept that I use. I like to use the word pro, referring to three basic areas of discipleship that I think are critical for the growth and the maturity of any individual believer and for the church as a whole. And the three letters of the word pro kind of lay out what those are. P refers to prayer life, teaching believers we're all called to be prayer warriors. Mm-hmm. Prayer is a critical part of our walk with God. R refers to reading and studying the Word of God. Every believer is called to be a diligent student of the Word. And O refers to obedience. We're to live what we learn. So in my mind, those are three basic building blocks that sort of cover the life of a disciple. But would you share your thoughts about just the need for us to teach and encourage believers to get those foundational truths at work in our lives?
Yeah, so I always say, you know how much you depend on God by how much you pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we as children of God, we have to, the Bible says, what, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And so prayer is very important. And when we look at the first century church, like we just went through the book of Acts in Bible study just to get a refresher on the first century church.
Mm-hmm.
And they relied heavily on prayer. The church prayed mm-hmm. without ceasing. They did not move without praying first. And so prayer was like critical. There was their way of inviting heaven to get involved on earth. And so we have to return back to seeing prayer as that important. And then you said read. I'm big on the authority of Scripture. And so I believe that we should be reading the Bible every day. Like, to me, that is the spiritual food that we have to have. And I wonder sometimes how bad of a state we are in, because
I'm going to have to jump in right here, Pastor Montgomery. We'll pick up there on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor C.J. Montgomery. He's the pastor of Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church, Boonville, Mississippi. We'll be right back.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
The music of Mercy Me with I Can Only Imagine. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Pastor C.J. Montgomery, the pastor of Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church, Boonville, Mississippi. And Pastor Montgomery, if you'll pick up where you left off, please do.
Yeah, so you said first was P, and that was prayer, and then your second one was R. And that is reading the Scriptures. And I honestly do believe that as believers, we ought to be reading the Bible every day. Mm-hmm. I know for myself, I have to have it every day, personally. Mm-hmm. One thing that I'm noticing that is very alarming is that a lot of children of God just don't know the Word of God.
Right.
And it's not necessarily that you have to go to a seminary school and get a PhD in it, and nothing's wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with extra biblical education, but we don't even know the Word of God. We fail to read it. We fail to know where to find different scriptures. And while we are reading the Word, I try to encourage people to read the Bible in order to know God. Okay, mm-hmm. Don't read the Bible just to know different facts, or I'm struggling with this today, so I need to read the Bible. No, read the Bible in order to know God. And by knowing God, it will, by default, help you deal with the other things that you are dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So reading the Bible is of top importance. It really is.
That's right.
But your last one was obedience, and that's where reading the Bible, it goes hand in hand with obedience.
That's right.
I believe the Bible teaches, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? Mm-hmm. And so just knowing the scriptures without applying the scriptures does us no good. And so I believe we as a people, as the church, the body of Christ, we got to bring back the importance of obeying the scriptures. We got to make that normal again, you know, mm-hmm. things that we require of ourselves and of one another. What does God's word say? Do that. That is my approach to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, I would mention this too, Pastor Montgomery. I'm going to put in a plug for our Ten Commandments project and relates to what you just shared too. The need is for us to understand God's word. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of counsel, but also it's a Holy Spirit book.
Absolutely.
It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to live the word of God. And
absolutely.
The Holy Spirit permeates the word of God. And we flow in the power of the Holy Spirit, and a life of obedience is not a matter of academically learning what the Bible says. Mm. It's moving in the power of the Holy Spirit to obey what God has called us to do as well. Well, one of the reasons why I continue to be in my excitement about the Ten Commandments project grows is because, number one, again, it helps us to carry out the Great Commission. Mm. Now, of course, we know this. You always have to share the gospel.
That's right.
Okay? And
that's
so, I, you know, from time to time, I may run into someone who says, well, the Ten Commandments doesn't save people. Jesus saves people.
That's right.
And the Ten Commandments is the wisdom of Jesus mm-hmm. as expressed through the moral law of God. But the fact is, we live in a world where you have believers that are very much in church, but sometimes they're not listening to the simple direction of Scripture in
right.
obedience.
Right.
You may have individuals who maybe they think, well, I go to church every Sunday, but they think it's okay to be involved with someone sexually outside of marriage. Mm. Or they may say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I'm a believer, but I believe in a woman's right to choose. To choose what? In other words, to choose to murder their babies. Mm. God's word says, you shall not murder.
That's
so,
right.
There are many ways in which God's word will give clear direction
yes.
in specific areas of life.
Yes.
Yet you have people that are very much in church who think, well, I don't think it's that important to do that because, you know, I don't know how important it is to really follow the Bible in this particular area. And sometimes a person may not say it with their mouth, but they don't have to say it. If their lifestyle says it, they're in disobedience. But
that's
thoughts
right.
in your heart about those matters?
Yeah, and so that's why I believe we have to return back to the authority of Scripture. What does mm-hmm. the Bible say? Some of the things, and again, it's really not about the culture with me, but the church.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things we are debating, I'm wondering, like what are we talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean right to choose? The Scriptures don't give us that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? What is the definition of marriage? The Scriptures have already rightly given us that. How are we debating if your gender can be changed? How are we debating whether or not two men can marry? So on and so forth. Like, if we would just allow the Word of God to say what it says and then apply it to our life, then some of these things we are arguing about, we would not argue about, because there are so many things that are so clear in Scripture. Now, I don't sit here as one that says I have all the answers, but the things that we are debating about are really not that hard to find in the Scriptures.
Very
so we
true.
Have to return back to the authority of Scriptures. And, you know, to piggyback on teaching the youth the Scriptures, it's important that we drill it in as early as we possibly can. We need children to understand this is the book we live by.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's written word. Follow it, okay? And a lot of times children are going to follow the pattern of their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that book has got to be lived out before them.
That's
before
right.
they can have that same conviction
mm-hmm.
as in this is the book we live by. You know, so.
You know, and Pastor Montgomery, that's a powerful point, that our children are always going to look at dad and mom
absolutely.
As role models.
Absolutely.
And as much as sometimes you may hear adults say, well, I don't want to be a role model. We don't have a choice.
Don't have a choice.
Our children are going to watch parents, but they don't just watch parents. They watch other adults as well. They listen and they learn. And see, the problems of the world are problems created by adults that mm-hmm. children have to live. They children have to live in the world of a world that where the adults created those problems.
Wow. Yeah.
And so it's important for us to understand that we have great responsibility to help our children come to know Christ, teach them to grow up, but also to seek to live before them
yeah.
because they're always watching us.
That's right.
They're always listening and learning from us. And so our goal is should always be to live in such a way that they can base. Now, the only perfect person is Jesus, period.
Right.
But we can strive to become more and more like Christ and be good role models for our children. So many of the struggles of young people today is a result of they're affected by the direction of adults in mm-hmm. front of them. And I recall once being in a classroom setting where I was talking about marriage, and one young girl was wondering, well, why do I need to get married? And as she shared about her situation, she was one of six sisters, and her mom had never married and mm-hmm. had a number of quite a few children out of wedlock. And so she didn't have a role model for marriage. Oh, well, I'm sorry. She had a poor role model for marriage, because we live in a world where marriage is encouraged, but for many children, in their minds, somehow or another, they think, well, if dad or mom does it, it must be okay. And sadly, that's just not the case, because the fact is dad or mom is supposed to know Jesus and Jesus and follow Jesus. So thoughts that come to your mind about that?
Well, I'm very passionate about family. I'm very passionate about marriage. And I honestly believe that the scriptures teach us how to navigate all of these different aspects of life. And I do believe that children pattern themselves after their parents. They mm-hmm. often do. And so we have a high calling, a great responsibility to present this word to them rightly. In Deuteronomy, it talks about how you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. He talks about how we have to love the Lord first, and then we teach our children mm-hmm. these different things of the scriptures. Even Joshua said, as for me and my house. So Joshua said, I'm going to be first in living out the scriptures, and then I'm going to ensure that my family follows suit with mm-hmm. me in that. And so I'm very passionate about that. I believe if you want to know how to do marriage, how to do it successfully, look at the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then don't question the scriptures. Follow the scriptures. If you want to know how to do parenting successfully, look at the scriptures. Don't question it. Follow it. You know, and none of us, I'm not saying I do this perfectly, mm-hmm. but I do know where the instructions lie. This book does not get old. These instructions do not wear out. This is not a suggestion. These are commandments, and we are to follow them. Yes.
Right. And, you know, again, I think of this, that one of the reasons why we're wise to use the Ten Commandments as a basic guide. Now, again, as the church, we're to always be consistently sharing the gospel of Jesus
Absolutely.
Christ. That's how people get saved.
Absolutely.
But the Bible is a book, amongst other things, of a discipleship. It teaches us how to follow God. You could say the Bible is very much an autobiography, a book by God about God. It teaches
That's
us
right.
how to follow God. But at the same time, it's important for us to know that we're to be teaching it. And the Ten Commandments lays out you could call it a basic curriculum to mm-hmm. preach and teach from about God's moral law, God's general wisdom for living mm-hmm. a successful life. And so it's good for adults to know the Ten Commandments, and it's good for children to know them and
That's
to live
right.
them as well. Yet, again, this it would be humorous if it wasn't so sad that many an adult, they couldn't name the Ten Commandments if their life depended on it.
That's true. Yeah.
So we should learn them, but not only learn them, but live them. We need to learn what they mean and seek to live them. And as adults, we need to learn them, live them, and we need to teach them to our children. So a part of the Ten Commandments Project, of course, is inviting the children to memorize them, and that's a good thing. And through our project, they get the T-shirt. It's not about the shirt.
Right, right.
It's about planting God's word in the hearts of our children, because they desperately need the word of God. So, but Pastor Montgomery, our time has flown by.
Yeah.
We're almost in the end. So if someone maybe wants to visit Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church in Boonville, tell them how they could do that.
So they could always come. We're right there in Boonville. Again, 819 Martin Luther King Jr. Drive, Boonville, Mississippi, United States, 38829. So you could always stop by and visit. We also have a Facebook page where we stream live, Spring Hill Missionary Baptist Church. And so those are the ways you could get in contact with Spring Hill. Yep.
All right. Well, thanks so much again for being with us, and keep up the great work serving the Lord. All right.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. Father, we thank you for Pastor Montgomery. Thank you for his church family. Thank you for every church represented that's listening to the broadcast today. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would encourage us to become much more serious and passionate about doing the work of being disciples and making disciples as a lifestyle. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And so again, to every believer listening again, let me just say this too. I had a chance to write an article about the three letters of the word PRO that I spoke about, the building blocks of discipleship. If you'd like to get a copy, email us at joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get that to you. But again, for you as an individual believer, if you're not reading your Bible every day, today is a wonderful day to start the habit of reading no less than three chapters in your Bible daily, as well as we're all called to live a lifestyle of prayer and a lifestyle of obedience. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a wonderful day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer and commit your heart and your life to the Lord? Would you pray with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I ever did. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent of all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to live a life and a lifestyle of prayer. And help me to obey you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please do get in touch. Again, that's joseph@afr.net so we can get that information to you. And, of course, if you'd like to get a copy of either of the articles that we shared earlier in the broadcast, same email. The first one of the articles entitled, Let the Children Come to Me. And then the other article entitled Praying the Prayer of Jabez Daily. If you like one or both, again, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get them to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.